Wally being officially deemed the fastest man alive in the DC universe, I think is great. It's basically, it's just acknowledging the truth that's already there. You know, when Wally became the Flash, he struggled at first. He was actually a lot slower than Barry Allen was. But as things went along, as his story progressed, he really came into his own as a hero, and he discovered some pretty important things about the nature of speedsters in the DCU, and he became the fastest man alive. And so when they got rid of him during Flashpoint, and they just unceremoniously killed this version of Wally West that had no powers. I think it was like in a car accident or something like that. And it was practically off panel. And then the New 52 happened, and that, I mean, Wally was just gone. Wally didn't exist at all. And they never referenced it during the New 52. Then when they brought the New 52 version of Wally West in, you know, part of my, you know, I don't know what the right word is, but I had disdain for Barry, and then they introduced this new version of Wally that I think I otherwise might have liked, but they introduced him and they still didn't make reference to the original Wally, who is this like 60 plus year old character. And I was just resentful. That's the word. I was resentful. And so when Rebirth happened and Wally makes his triumphant return, that was really all I wanted. I just wanted them to say, hey, Wally West exists. It's okay. Don't worry. He's safe. But then to actually make him the fastest man alive instead of Barry Allen, who is like the star of the Flash book, I thought that was just they really outdid themselves, and they kind of put me back in their good graces, because yeah, Wally West is the fastest man alive. I don't care what anyone else says. Like, he's, you know, he's the best Flash ever, period.
It is telling that the main thing that even fans of the Flash TV show or the DCEU movies or whatever know about is the Speed Force, and that's so now tied in to like the identity of Barry Allen. When he had, it didn't exist when he died. Like,
right.
Wally discovered it, mastered it.
Yep.
And then they were like, oh, well, it was created when Barry became the Flash. Right. Oh, okay, that's fine. He still knew nothing about it and didn't know how it worked.
Yep. And I was gonna get into this a little bit later, but yeah, like, Wally discovered the Speed Force. And he absolutely mastered it. You're right. And he not only did he discover the Speed Force, but he made the Flash as a concept truly awesome in like the modern day sensibilities. I'm sure like when Barry Allen was running around in the 60s and 70s, and you know, people thought that he was really cool and everything. I guess so. Like, I find that hard to believe, because when I try to read those older stories, like, no offense to anyone who loves those stories, but it's just it doesn't work for me. It doesn't quite gel. There's a lot of humor in it that I can appreciate, but Wally is the guy that made the Flash cool.
Look through the absolute version of Crisis on Infinite Earths?
I don't think so.
Marv Wolfman's notes for the issue where Barry Allen died quite literally say, I'm killing him because he's boring. Like, he's the staple DC hero. Get, you know, having a death happen will up the ante and the stakes for this story. And he's the most boring character we have. He's dying.
That's incredible to me that they killed him because he was boring, but at the same time also elevated the character of the Flash in the DC universe, because like ever since then it's kind of a tradition that if there's a crisis, a Flash will die.
Yeah.
And like the Flash has become such an important, like they even like Geoff Johns even, I think he's the one, I might be misremembering this, but he's the one that said, that suggested the idea that the Speed Force is what keeps time flowing forward. It's literally what not only gives the Flash his super speed, but it puts all of us into motion. Like if it wasn't for the Speed Force, we'd all just be standing still. Like there would be no momentum in the universe whatsoever. Like that's such such an important element to the fabric of reality in the DC universe. But there's just been all sorts of stuff that writers have introduced, like throughout, you know, crossovers and big events, you know, that kind of come out of the original crisis. And it was really just someone wanting to kill Barry off because he thought he was boring. That's hilarious to me.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, he's not, I'm not going to say Barry. God, he's not really any more interesting today, but his stories are at least, his supporting cast, you know, to a certain extent is more interesting. I don't know if you're reading the current run of the Flash with Williamson.
I was reading it up until it started playing with the other forces.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, I read it until Flash War.
Right.
And then I stopped.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't blame you. I don't blame you. You know, I don't know if this is on topic. This is talking about Wally.
Yeah, sure.
But you know, I think that you know, Josh Williamson definitely had a plan for Wally. You know, he's the one that said that Wally West is the fastest man alive still. Really put Barry in his place. And I love that. And I still resent Barry because Barry got all of these new bells and whistles as a character. But he basically, he's just existing with a Wally West overlay to a large extent. He hasn't really earned any of the, you know, like the lightning trails or the cool angled belt that he wears. You know, all that stuff comes from Wally West comics. And, so I love that Williamson, like when you read those like original issues of his run, you could really see that like where his heart was, like, okay, he really wants to be writing a Wally West comic, but like editorial is saying, nope, Barry Allen is Flash and he's just gotta deal with it. So like when he does that, like, it was just like, okay, that's a great moment. And he's clearly building up to something with Wally. Like he's trying to, you know, weave these elements of Wally West, I think, very organically into, you know, back into the Flash book and back into the life of Barry Allen. And I really enjoyed that because I was totally on board for like a book that like may have mostly been about Barry, but that had like, you know, maybe side stories with Wally and side stories with both of them together. Like I would have been on board with that. And then Heroes in Crisis comes along and kills Wally West at first. But then they just say that, oh no, he's not dead. He's just a murderer. And he's like completely like destroyed, I'm not going to say it destroyed his character, because superheroes, all superheroes have the same superpower in that their characters are ultimately invulnerable, and you can do absolutely anything you want to them, and they're essentially bulletproof in that regard. They'll come back at some point, and all will be forgiven, and they will be back on top of the world again. But it was still this moment where it's like you're reading the Flash book, and then this thing happens in Heroes in Crisis that was very out of character for Wally, where he loses control and through the Speed Force kills, a handful of heroes, like five or six characters. And now he's locked up somewhere. And you can, in the Flash book, it was like you can almost hear the record scratch. And I felt like the writer was like struggling, because in my mind, I think that let's not say every arc, but a lot of the arcs after the events in Heroes in Crisis, I think originally was meant to have a lot of Wally in it. And he had to very quickly rewrite things so that it would still make sense without Wally. But I don't know. There's just so many holes in those first few arcs after what happens to Wally that the book really took a dive. And it had been so good up until that point that that's the only explanation I can think of for the decline in quality. Now I think the book is kind of a little bit, it's getting back on track, you know, because I think he's had more time to kind of figure things out without Wally. But I'm really hoping that after the events of Flash Forward, which is for you listeners out there who might not know, the Flash Forward is Wally's new book. It's a mini series, but it's going to be all about Wally. We're going to see, you know, kind of what he's up to. He's apparently going to be traveling through the multiverse, which, you know, I'm a multiverse guy. I'm already hooked on that premise, but I'm really hoping it's going to be a deep dive into Wally, and hopefully it'll put him in a better place, and then maybe he'll find himself back in the Flash book with Barry, and he can help keep Barry interesting, because Barry desperately needs that.
Yeah.
Sorry, that was very long-winded, but
no, you're good.
And I completely forget what even question you asked me.
it's not relevant anymore.
Good, thank you.
But since we spent so much time talking about where Wally is now, who is Wally from the start, for anyone who doesn't know?
Oh, that's good. That's very good. Very good question.
Yeah, my segues were way better than last time you were on.
That's great. Wally West, aka Wallace Rudolph West. Yes, I am consulting my notes. He was created by John Broom and Carmine Infantino back in 1959. He's 60 years old, which you would never think to look at him, since I think he's like canonically probably like what, 18 again.
He's mid 20s, early to mid 20s.
Okay. Yeah, it's hard to tell exactly how young Rebirth made him again, but we'll go with that.
I'm going based on Titans, where Arsenal still has a like 5-year-old daughter.
True.
I'm assuming that she was not conceived when he was in high school.
Although, you never know.
Who knows?
Yeah, I mean they could have done that, but let's go with early to mid 20s. That works for me. He's the nephew of Iris West, who is the future wife of Barry Allen. It's really kind of, I'm getting too deep in the weeds because so much of this has been retconned, but let's just say basically when he was a little kid, he was a huge fan of The Flash. And he was very lucky to have an aunt who was dating Barry Allen. And so that's pretty much how they met. He was Kid Flash for decades, until in the 80s, Barry Allen died in the very first superhero crossover, Crisis on Infinite Earths. And Wally ran as the Flash from 1986 until 2009. And then very sadly disappeared from DC Comics until 2016, when he triumphantly returned in DC Universe Rebirth. He's had some highs and lows, and highs and lows again. So right now he's kind of in this weird place, at least at the time of this recording, where, like I was saying, he went through this terrible event, and he's going to be appearing in a book called Flash Forward, which I don't know if you remember this, Dan, but that is the name that I suggested for Wally when he first came back in Rebirth, and we were talking in our group chat about, oh, what should we call Wally? You know, before we knew that they were just going to call him Flash again. I suggested that they call him Flash Forward. And lo and behold, he's in a book called Flash Forward. I don't know if that means that they're going to call him Flash Forward from now on, but I'd be totally down with that.
I still really want him to have the name Speed Force.
Oh, interesting. I don't know if we talked about that.
It was one of the suggestions in that conversation, and that name just kind of really stuck with me because I just thought that it worked so well for him.
Since he discovered it and all?
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Since he's the only Flash who is fast enough to be fighting with one team in China and another team in, what was it, like, Gotham, right, and wearing two completely different costumes and moving so fast that no team realized that he wasn't there the whole time.
Right. He was fighting on two completely separate Justice League teams on two completely separate parts of the Earth, wearing two completely different costumes at the same exact time, and it did not affect either mission at all. I think I still look back at that and think that is probably the coolest Flash moment ever.
Yeah, Justice League Elite was a real underrated book.
It was so underrated. Who was that? Joe. Oh gosh, why can't I remember his name? He did the Superman book with, I'm blanking on all these names. Manchester Black.
Yeah.
Whatever happened to Truth, Justice, and the American Way?
Yeah. Joe Kelly.
Thank you. Yeah. That is still one of my favorite Superman stories. It's such a great modern Superman story because it's literally about, you know, is Superman still relevant today? And Joe Kelly makes such a great argument that, like, you just can't argue. You can't argue the point. If anyone hasn't
read it and you don't want to read a comic, Superman versus the Elite, animated movie that is a very, very faithful recreation of it.
Such a faithful recreation of it. I love that. I love that movie. It's probably my favorite of the animated movies, like the more recent animated movies. Like, well, I would say, besides Dark Knight Returns, I would say Dark Knight Returns is really, really good too. But those two are absolutely my favorites.
I prefer it to Dark Knight Returns, but I absolutely love Crisis on Two Earths.
Yeah, that's a good
one. Just for James Woods as Owlman.
Yeah, he did make a pretty damn good Owlman. I'll give you that. But yeah, I definitely agree. I agree with that recommendation. And if you can track down Justice League Elite and you want to see a really awesome Flash moment showing off his powers, you got to check it out.
Yeah, and you get to see a character yell "Enough, Chuck," and then grow. And I'm not going to say they're Apache Chief. But, yeah.
Yeah. Manitow Raven?
Yeah.
Or was it? Okay, yeah. Because there was Manitow Raven, and then didn't he have, like a daughter or...
It was his wife. His wife, after he died, became Manitow Dawn.
Manitow Dawn, thank you. I think that was an underrated Justice League run in general, probably because it was a fairly recent follow-up to Grant Morrison's Justice League.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I can't really blame anyone for being underwhelmed maybe by it compared to Grant Morrison's, but...
I was just whelmed.
That's fair. I remember reading that back in the day and was like, this is actually pretty good. And I don't think even myself wasn't as in love with it until like now looking back and thinking about all, you know, those thinking about that run. And I was actually, I have the DC Universe app. And so I was like reading back through some of those older issues and looking back through the Elite stuff. I think it holds up. I haven't reread all of it, but I'm definitely going to. I'm going to reread all of the Morrison stuff and just kind of keep going from there at some point.
Or get to the Justice League lineup where they formed a team solely because all the heroes went, "We can't trust Batman. So we're literally going to form a Justice League that is just an anti-Batman team." Made up of heroes, no villains, legit heroes who go, "You know what? Batman's kind of a dick. I don't like him." Congratulations, you're on the team.
Yeah. That was a really interesting time for Batman. I can't say I love that. I like the idea that Grant Morrison introduced that, like, Batman's the guy that has all the contingencies.
Yeah.
But I think it was taken too far at some point where it was like,
Brother Eye.
Exactly. That was like the culmination where it's like, okay, no one trusts Batman as it is. And then he unleashes Brother Eye on the world, that basically turns, half or more of the population into killer robots. He had some bad days in the mid 2000s, but I'm I don't think he's ever really recovered. Like, he always kind of falls back into that, like, you know, super paranoid, doesn't trust anyone kind of a state. But I get bored with that. I much prefer a Batman that recognizes that he has, you know, that while he lost his mother and father, that he has spent his life not only training to become and fighting as the Batman, but rebuilding the family that he's lost. Like, that's the Batman that I prefer. Like, because otherwise he's just ignoring the people that are in front of him, and that gets that bugs the crap out of me.
I'm so alone. I'm so sad. Go away, all you Robins and all you Batgirls. And spoiler too, even though you count as a Batgirl now. And a Robin.
Yeah, very impressive.
And Azrael and Alfred and...
And Ace the Bat-Hound and Alfred the Cat and Bat-Cow. Get out of here, all of you.
Yeah, just... Leave me alone. And Alfred's daughter, who I don't know if she's still canon, but her.
Oh.
From the New 52.
Yeah, I forgot all about her. Oh, no. I'm pretty sure that was like during the Jim Gordon Batman stuff, right?
Yeah, but she's shown up in Rebirth.
Has she? Okay.
Yeah, she works for, I think, Argus now.
All right.
But yeah, like, go away, all you people. I need to be sad about the fact that I'm forever alone. Meanwhile, Superman's just like, I got two people. I have a family again. I'm happy.
Yeah. Oh,
Batman has like 18, and he's so lonely.
So lonely. He can't ever be happy. He's got too much family that he is too busy ignoring because Gotham needs me.
I mean, it's really hard. Batman. It's really hard to play up the narrative that you're a loner when you're surrounded by a ton of friends and family.
Right. It's the same problem DC ran into during the crisis, where, you know, they wanted to call him the last son of Krypton because it sounded cool, but there was a Supergirl and there was a super horse and there was a super monkey and a super cat and there was
although the super cat was just hit by radiation.
Close enough, Dan.
Hey, it is better than in Supergirl when the horse was revealed to be a magical centaur and then Supergirl had sex with it.
Nope. I promised my brain that I would purge my memory of that, and you've ruined it. Now I'm going to have to drink 7 White Claws to forget that memory again.
Oh, go with Black Cherry. It's delicious. Yeah, that's right. That's right, listeners. Make your jokes. White Claw's fucking delicious.
White Claw is a gift from heaven above. It is phenomenal, and it's only 100 calories a can.
Oh, it's the pumpkin spice of alcohol. Yeah, I like pumpkin spice too. Fuck you if you have a problem with it.
I just had a pumpkin spice cold brew, and it was delicious.
I like to get chai lattes from like Starbucks and have them put pumpkin spice in that.
What? You're a monster.
It tastes like Christmas.
Okay.
Like if you had to think Christmas and be like, what would Christmas taste like? It's that.
Interesting. All right. I'll have to remember that. I just discovered the salted cold foam caramel cold brew today. And that was really good. I recommend
that
one.
Sounds good, but it also sounds like way too many words.
It's way too many words. I'm sure I added a few. But you could probably find it if you just string a combination of those letters together. I'm sure they'll know what you're talking about.
Okay, cool. We'll find that, and link number 2 on Google will be to the Anarchist Cookbook, and then I'll be on a watch list.
Yeah, careful. You're gonna want to go into incognito mode probably for that.
Good. Thank you, Google, for saying you're not going to release people's search histories, except when you do.
When you do. Yeah. No. You can't trust Google.
Hey, when the war between Google, Amazon, and Disney comes, I'm backing Google. They have all my passwords.
That's true. That is true. Oh God. No, I'm deleting them all right now as we speak. I'm sticking with Apple. I'm an Apple guy through and through. You can have your Androids.
Yeah, but we all know that by the time that war comes, Disney will have bought Apple so that they can add that show where Jason Momoa plays a blind guy to the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Right. Which is really just a ploy to get Aquaman into their universe, because they're going to want to eventually take on the rest of the DCU and Warner Brothers as well.
I mean, it's getting Aquaman and Daredevil, and there is one character. Why wouldn't they want it?
Yeah. I really can't blame Disney. They're giving me too much quality entertainment to question literally anything that they're doing. I'm just going to let it be. And as long as I get my X-Men and Fantastic Four in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, works for me.
Yeah, like, honestly, at this point, like, you know how much I love the Fantastic Four. They could literally just be like, hey, we are going to, like, we will literally come in and take everything you own and make you work for us for minimum wage and own your soul, and you can have a choice of what to trade it for, either some Alf Pogs or a good Fantastic Four movie. And I'm going to choose the Fantastic Four movie, even though Alf is back in Pog form. Which is also owned by Disney now.
That is true. I was about to mention that, and then my brain refused to connect those dots, because it's still impossible for me to understand that Marge is now a Disney princess.
And I think the best Disney princess.
Yeah. I don't know.
Moana's pretty cool. there's other. I'm not saying that all the Disney princesses are lame. I saw Ralph Breaks the Internet.
Yeah.
They were awesome. Except Merida. She might have been awesome. I couldn't understand a word she said.
Oh, well, you know, if it wasn't for the Disney princesses, though, the climax of that movie, I think, would have been pretty lackluster. That teamwork at the end really, really made it for me.
Yeah. Anyone who hasn't seen Ralph Breaks the Internet, by the way, it's on Netflix. Just watch it. It is so pleasant.
It is very pleasant. I will say I like the first one better. But this one, I figure this is like the only follow-up that I could think of for them to do, to like a movie about 80s video game sprites. This was a really good follow-up, very enjoyable. I'm curious what they're going to do with the third one, because you know that's coming at some point.
Oh, yeah. Ralph
Breaks the Dark Web.
Oh, that'd be fun. He just steals everyone's credit card numbers to save to fix another game.
Yeah, but how many snuff porn videos is he gonna have to wade through to do this?
That's the excitement for the movie.
Okay, that's is that the central conflict of the film?
It is. I'm calling it now, though. There's going to be a Fix-It Felix Jr. reboot, or Fix-It Felix Jr. 2 that comes out. I'm calling it now that that's going to be the premise of the third one.
I love that idea. That's pretty smart.
That's
really damn clever. They are threatened by these like weird, like updated versions of themselves that maybe are soulless, you know, remarking on, you know, how sometimes remakes can be like just soulless shells of the original or something like that.
Yeah, but the new Fix-It Felix can like double jump.
Yeah, sure.
So like Felix is just like, well, I can't compare to that.
Right.
His hammer can be upgraded.
But it also has to threaten the arcade in some way, which I guess is already threatened by the fact that it's an arcade in America. So I guess it has to like pull fans away from the arcade, and no one's playing the Wreck-It Ralph original, and they're all playing Wreck-It Ralph 2 on like Nintendo Switch lights or something like that, and they can see them through the window. And they have to figure out how to get into those games and make them shitty, I guess, so that they could, so that the kids will flock back to the arcades.
That would be fun. They have to transfer into the. All right, so they have to transfer into the Switch lights through augmented reality through Pokemon Go.
Ooh.
And then because you can transfer Pokemon from Pokemon Go to the Let's Go games on the Switch.
I'm with you.
Bam! He gets onto Switches.
There you go. There you go. And then he has to wreck Nintendo? Oh, no.
What? Well,
we've made him a villain.
That's being... He's bad, and that's not bad. That can be good, and that's not bad, or whatever that mantra was.
What? I do, no. You lost me at this point. I don't know.
There was a mantra in the first movie where he's saying, like, I'm bad, and that's okay. I can be bad, and that's good. Being good doesn't mean I can't be bad, or something along those lines.
Right, right, with his, like, bad guy support group or whatever.
Yeah, it was very inspirational. That bad guy support group that Zangief was in for some reason.
Of course.
But on the topic of Wreck-It Ralph, why do you like Wally West?
Brilliant. Brilliant. What a segue back to the topic at hand. I like Wally West for a lot of reasons. But I feel like I can't really talk about Wally without talking about this incredible superhero legacy that he's a part of. So we talked about Wally a little bit. We've talked about Barry Allen as well. But the Flash was actually originally a character by the name of Jay Garrick. He came about in 1940 during the original Golden Age era of superhero comics. And he was just a scientist like Barry and had a ridiculous lab accident like Barry. Hard water. Had nothing to do with lightning.
He invented hard water, got splashed in it. Powers.
He breathed. Actually, he breathed in hard water fumes.
Oh,
then that's what made all the difference, Dan.
My mistake.
Yes, it's okay. It's okay.
If his powers work on wood, that's what I care about.
Yes, his powers do work on wood.
Cool.
Unlike his friend Green Lantern. If you don't know, there was basically a whole version of DC Comics heroes that existed before the Justice League. So there was and these heroes are referred to the Golden Age versions. So there was like a Golden Age version of the Flash, who was Jay Garrick. There was a Golden Age version of Green Lantern, who was Alan Scott. And so, you know, Hal Jordan's powers wouldn't work on yellow originally, and Alan Scott's powers wouldn't work on wood because weaknesses. I don't know. It never really made much sense, which is why I'm glad they pretty much retconned that out at this point.
Yeah.
Jay Garrick, he helped to form the Justice Society of America, which was the very first time that there was ever a superhero team. Prior to this team, the heroes of DC Comics were just kind of, they were on their own. They were separate comic books that had no connective tissue whatsoever. And it wasn't until the Justice Society of America was created that this idea of a shared comic book universe was created. So Jay Garrick has this really awesome legacy all on his own. Which I'm obsessed with. The Justice Society is like my number one favorite super team of all time. I love those characters. They're the heroes of World War II. I'm very much excited that they're coming back soon. They've been out of continuity since since the New 52, unfortunately. But they're coming back. They actually already came back in an issue of Justice League, which is awesome, but they're going to be getting their own book soon and everything. But anyway, so Jay Garrick is awesome too. He wore this he was kind of modeled after the Roman god Mercury. So I don't know if you've ever seen his hat. It's like a big tin hat with like gold wings on it. Jay Garrick ran around wearing that. I guess the Speed Force helped to keep it on his head. I'm not really sure.
Well, I always assumed that it had a strap we never saw, since canonically it is his World War One helmet.
Yeah. Maybe he was vibrating so quickly that the strap was just invisible.
Maybe. I mean, the reason why no one ever recognized him was because he was vibrating his face, so who knows?
It's true. It's absolutely true. which is ridiculous, Golden Age, you know, kind of logic, but I'm there for it. But basically, after some time, superhero comics became less popular. DC Comics moved on to try to stay relevant. They did, you know, war stories and romance stories and horror stuff, and the industry kind of moved on from superheroes, with the exception of some of the bigger characters like Superman, Batman, and Wonder Woman. But eventually they decided to reboot The Flash, and secretly the entire DC universe. So this was like, I don't know how many people, like, I think people look at Crisis as like the first big reboot for the DC universe. But really, the first reboot wasn't a big moment at all. It was kind of done in secret. Like, they basically just kind of stopped publishing Flash and Green Lantern. And then, you know, years later, they started again with the same characters, except they were completely different. And then, so instead of Jay Garrick, we just had Barry Allen, who was a police scientist, got struck by lightning, and dosed with a random mixture of chemicals. And he became the Flash. And then it's just really interesting because, like, he became the Flash, and Hal Jordan became Green Lantern, and they helped to form the Justice League, and all this stuff happened, but DC Comics just made absolutely no reference to the fact that prior to them, there was the Justice Society, and there was Jay Garrick, and they just ignored it. They were just like, fans won't remember these older characters. You know, we're moving on. We're just moving ahead. Fortunately, that didn't stick. What eventually happened then after Barry came on the scene is 3 years later, Wally West shows up. He's the nephew of Barry's girlfriend. He also gets struck by lightning and dosed with the same exact random mix of chemicals. And he also gets super speed powers, just like that. And just as quickly, he becomes Kid Flash. Kid Flash is... I can't say that I've read really any Kid Flash stories of the Silver Age. I mean, I've thumbed through them, you know, I have with most Silver Age stuff. it's just, I'm not saying it's bad. It's just not my particular cup of tea. What Kid Flash eventually becomes is something that I think is bigger than it was ever intended. Kid Flash eventually meets up with other teenage superheroes at the time: Robin, Dick Grayson, the original Robin, Aqualad, Wonder Girl, and they are kind of a part of this awesome golden age of teen sidekicks. And this culminates with this new book, Teen Titans, and that eventually becomes New Teen Titans, which is by the creators of the Crisis on Infinite Earths, which is, like, to me, still, like, and I don't know, people would probably agree with this, still, like, the biggest DC comic story ever.
I would say that works. I'm trying to think of anything that comes close to it. And while other things have been on the same level of, like, hey, we're saving all of existence right now.
Yeah.
I don't think anything else has done it quite on the same scope, where you just have every version of every character that has ever existed fighting side by side.
Yeah.
All of these little one-issue imaginary stories where, like, hey, what if Superman was fat? What if...
Right.
What if Wonder Woman was a powerless mod suit wearing woman who knows karate?
Yeah, right.
What if Batman had a son named Batman 2? And just like, all right, all of them fighting side by side together against one giant threat.
Yeah. Hey, can we pause this for a second? Sorry, Dan.
Yeah.
Okay, hold on.
Hey, while we're paused, everybody, don't forget to follow Character Progression on Instagram and Facebook, and I'll use that Twitter account eventually. Oh, and the Patreon, and rate and review this podcast on the places that you listen to it. That would be cool. That'd be a thing I appreciate. I mean, we're talking about DC stuff. DC Universe is good. Watch those shows. Those are all entertaining.
Yes, they are.
Oh, I was filling the time. I decided I didn't feel like just editing the breakout, so I did all my plugs now.
Excellent. That's how you do it.
I'm a professional.
Yes, indeed.
As I sit in a closet.
Hey, you want to get great audio, and that's how you do it, man. That's true.
Plus, I can, sing R. Kelly's Trapped in the Closet to myself, but only to myself, because singing it out loud reminds me that he's a piece of shit.
That is correct. He is canceled, and you're only allowed to sing his amazing music in your head.
Trapped in the Closet or the one from Space Jam, though. Nothing else.
Sure, that's fine. What about The Freaking Weekend? You gotta sing that one.
No, someone else covered it. Just sing that one.
Okay, fair enough.
I don't know what it was. Lizzo covered it, I assume. If she hasn't, hey Lizzo, I know you listen to this podcast.
Sure, odds are.
Cover that, and then don't pay him shit.
That's a pretty good societal revenge against him, I think. Although he might still be able to litigate from prison. I don't know how that works.
Hey, R. Kelly's cellmate. I know you listen to this. tell him not to do that.
Oh, God, I thought you were going to tell him to shiv him.
Oh, no, don't. I'm not going to promote violence. I will say if he gets repeatedly punched in the dick, no one's going to be mad.
That's true, especially in prison.
Yeah, I don't even think he'll be mad at that point. He'll just be like, ah, shit, I deserve this.
I deserve this. Yeah, I don't know, man. Yeah, I saw that interview where he was like, this is my life. Okay.
Robert. Best damn part of any interview I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Pretty good stuff.
But anyway, back on topic.
You go ahead. You're the host.
Okay. Well, that was enough on why you like WALL-E.
I just wanted to clarify real quick before you get into that, because I know that was super long-winded, but that's just to say that WALL-E is a part of this amazing legacy. I'm obsessed with superhero legacies, and that's why he besides the fact that I just think he's a super cool superhero, he's a part of this incredible legacy that is like real, like it is actually decades long, with characters that are decades old, and it's really impressive to me.
Yeah, somebody born right now will, I just did the math on this, somebody born right now, this year, will turn legal drinking age the same year that Wally turns 100.
Damn.
Right?
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Go Wally.
Yes. So, people born right now, I know you also listen to this podcast.
Right. They are minutes old and they're listening right now.
Yeah, a little AirPods in the womb. I mean, Apple's everywhere, man. You can't escape it.
They're really good at what they do.
No babies want green Android text boxes. That's just gross.
No. That is disgusting, and I will pretend you didn't even reference that just now.
I only found out that existed recently. I've only ever had Android products.
For shame. For shame.
But yeah, the you know, they have, on your 21st birthday, have a drink for Wally. Not for you, for Wally.
That is fair. That is fair.
21-year-olds will drink for you when you turn 100. That's how it works.
No, but seriously, I hope they do know, at least some of them, about Wally, because I hope the comic book still exists 20 years from now. And I hope that Wally is now the Flash.
Yeah. But so, how do you think liking Wally has influenced you growing up as a fan of him?
Well, you know, with Wally West, he's an interesting character in that, I think I'm going to talk about him in terms of when he was actually the Flash, because he was the Flash for like 25 years. and when he started as the Flash, he struggled a lot. He was also kind of a jerk. He was hot-headed, and he would be quick to make decisions, rash decisions. And I think a part of that was because of his powers. But I think that he was just kind of this, he was this very down-to-earth guy, and he was nothing like Barry, who was this, you know, I think in the Silver Age they were trying to make him this like perfect dude, like, who, I don't know, was really honorable and honest and blah blah blah, and it was just boring. But Wally was this very layered character, and he had a lot of great qualities. Very selfless, you know, always ran, you know, in honor of Barry. He loved and respected Barry a lot, cared very deeply for him, and he was just really distraught about losing him. But like I said, he also had a lot of character flaws. And when I started reading comics, you know, Wally was the Flash, and he had been the Flash for a long time. It was, I want to say it was already, we were already into Geoff Johns' run on the Flash. I think it was like the very beginning of his run. And so he had already kind of learned a lot of things from being the Flash, but he was still kind of a selfish hero in a lot of ways. And, you know, he'd revealed his identity to the world, and, you know, actually kind of reminds me just very little bit of how Robert Downey Jr. portrayed Tony Stark in the Marvel movies, where he loved being the Flash, and was kind of cocky about it too. And so when I was kind of reading this stuff, you know, I was reading a lot of like older stuff to kind of catch up. Like, I was reading like collections of older DC books and kind of reading how heroes were portrayed, like not too long ago, but like pretty long, like in the 80s and 90s and stuff like that. And I think especially in the 80s, heroes were more prim and proper. And when I was reading Wally comics, like, you know, the modern day Wally stuff, I just kind of saw this imperfect hero. And I related to that a lot, because I could just see like, oh, okay, well, you know, for me personally, like when I was younger and even today, like I can be hot-headed and I can, I sometimes have a short temper, and I grew up an only child. My parents did eventually have another son, but I was like 13. So I had that only child experience. And so I could also be very selfish. But I think a pretty good person and, you know, wanted to be, I think, better than the faults that I perceived in myself. And I felt that I could see that in Wally a lot too. Like he was constantly running to improve himself, I felt. And I think it might have been a combination of actual character stuff for Wally, like his faults and his, you know, his better habits and stuff like that. But it was also this on a more either, I don't know if editorial is the right word, but kind of more on like an overall, like the Flash characters felt like they were really building up the Flash character and his powers and abilities and his, you know, supporting cast and like, you know, like, cause it started off with him with kind of random supporting characters when he first became the Flash, and eventually the supporting characters that he got were like other speedsters that had, you know, been published throughout the history of the DCU. Like we got Jay Garrick back, you know, we got other characters like Johnny and Jesse Quick, a father and daughter team of speedsters. We got Max Mercury, who was like this super ancient speedster. And then eventually we got Impulse, which is one of my favorite characters of all time. And I know one of your favorite characters. And he kind of became the new Kid Flash without being called Kid Flash, at least at first. But I just kind of, I latched onto Wally and I latched onto his story and his supporting cast, and that really helped me to kind of see stuff in myself. And it also really led me down this rabbit hole of DC Comics, you know, because I was like, oh well, you know, because he would mention Barry, and it's like, oh, Barry's dead. Well, who's Barry? That was the Flash, like the actual Flash, like they actually killed the Flash. And that led me to read Crisis on Infinite Earths, and that led me to read more into the Justice Society. And there got to be a point where I read every single, oops, sorry, my wife is home and my dog is barking.
Okay.
Sorry. Hi, honey. Hey, Dan, can you give me another minute?
Yeah.
Sorry, man.
All right. While Mike's being a responsible, loving husband. How are you? It's okay. You can answer. I can hear you through your phone or computer or tablet or whatever. How are you? Oh, okay. Well, for those of you who said good, I'm glad. For those of you who thought or said, things have been better. I hope they turn around for you soon. No matter which answer you gave, puppies exist. That's pretty great. You can pet them. Their tails wag. They stink sometimes, but you don't really mind it because they're puppies. Cats, too. Cats don't stink as often because they clean themselves, but you can pet them. And, I mean, they probably mind, but they're not going to stop you because it feels good. Yeah, Chris Farley was funny. that scene in Billy Madison when he's talking about hooking up with Miss Vaughn, that was great. That's hilarious. You're thinking about that scene right now. Right. I knew you were. I feel like I'm on an episode of Dora the Explorer. Make sure you drink plenty of water. And if you have piercings, make sure that the balls are tight. And if you remember to stretch before and or after exercise. And, I mean, puppies are still awesome. That hasn't changed. Cats are still awesome, too. And I can say cats are awesome again because they, all of you who have a cat, if you look over at it now, it's probably asleep. So it didn't even know that I complimented it.
It should hear your compliments.
It should. That was good timing.
Sorry about that. I do have to wrap things up fairly soon.
Okay.
Is that gonna mess up the show?
Nope. We're just gonna jump ahead a few steps.
All right.
So I'm gonna just jump right into Big G, Little G, something that didn't exist last time you were on.
Okay.
So, Big G is how can the lessons you've learned from Wally and the way he's influenced your life be good for the world? And the little G is how have those lessons been good for you in your own life?
That is a interesting question for Wally. Now, I have been listening to your show. So I did know about this new segment, but I also did not prepare at all for these questions. Okay, Big G, ask me that again. How is it good? How are the things that I've learned about Wally good for the world?
Yes, and then the little G is how have they been good for you?
All right. Well, I think. You know, with Wally, what DC Comics did was they showed that their superhero universe could be more complex and more interesting and more layered. And I really do think that because of Crisis on Infinite Earths and Wally West becoming the Flash, it defined the next 20 years plus of DC Comics. We had it was the birth of like the big superhero crossover, like the line wide crossover event, and I think that helped to push comic sales a lot more. Then in a time when, you know, comic sales were maybe starting to get into an era of decline in terms of sales and stuff. But event comics, I think it's a double-edged sword. I'm not going to sit here and say that they've all been great on a narrative level. But I think that event comics, the positives that they've done, is they have helped to allow publishers to promote all sorts of books, you know, books that are kind of fledgling. You've got tie-ins and stuff like that, that when done right, can be very entertaining and can help push the sales of a book that's otherwise going unread. And, you know, getting back into DC Comics specifically, I just think that, you know, Wally helped to crystallize, I think, the idea of the legacy hero at DC Comics. And, you know, for me, and I think a lot of people would agree, you know, legacy heroes, they're a product of DC Comics far more than they are of Marvel. Marvel is more you know, just you've got your main heroes, you get your Spider-Man, your Captain America, and your Iron Man. And for a really long time, legacy characters just weren't really a part of their makeup. They've kind of caught up a little bit in that regard, but I think that legacy heroes is a concept that DC Comics has really mastered over the years, and I think a lot of that is due to Wally. You've got Kyle Rayner, who eventually took over for Hal Jordan. You've got Connor Hawke, who was the son of the original Green Arrow, who he eventually took over as Green Arrow. And you've got there's just tons of examples of legacy heroes. Even sidekicks now have legacy characters. Like, there's been so many versions of Robin, and you know, different versions of you know, Aqualad, and you know, you've got different versions of Wonder Girl. And I think that just overall, like, the Wally West helped to make DC Comics a much, much richer place, because he proved, I think, this unspoken promise of being a sidekick is that one day you'll get to take over, you know, for your mentor, and you're gonna wear, you know, you're gonna wear the big cape and cowl, and Wally proved that, and I think that he helped to elevate and change and transform the DC universe in a lot of very, very key important ways that we're still feeling today.
Okay. I like it. You got both big and little cheese all wrapped up together in that.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Cause you know, Wally, I don't know if I would have gotten as deep into comics if it wasn't for Wally. There was just something about reading his adventures that was like, there was always so much more to it. Like, especially like during Mark Waid's run, which I wanted to get into, but like, and I did touch on it, like him, like he's the writer that had Wally, or Wally supporting characters become, you know, instead of like random new characters that other writers were creating, he was just like, nope, we're going to go back and we're going to pull all of these speedsters from the, you know, the history of DCU, and we're going to put them all in the same book, and it's going to be incredible. And it was, and that, like, when I was getting into comics, people complained about that there's too much continuity, and it's hard to follow. And I totally get that. But for me, when I was reading Wally, stories, I was just hooked, and I just kept digging deeper and deeper and deeper into DC lore. And I'm still a number, like, DC Comics, I'm a DC guy through and through. I like some Marvel stuff, but it's all DC Comics for me, and that really stems from Wally.
That's fair.
Yep.
I do like, it's real quick, I do like that there are actually Marvel books you'll read now, because I got tired of telling you how good Immortal Hulk was.
Yes. I've had a weird off and on, hot and cold relationship with Marvel Comics. Actually, I think that the first comics that I really started reading was Spider-Man, was J. Michael Straczynski's Spider-Man comics. And then I read like New X-Men from Grant Morrison. And then a friend of mine, I was at his house and he had some new comics, and one of them was Jeff Johns, Scott Collins, Flash. And I read that issue of Flash, and I think it had like Magenta in it, which is like Wally West's ex-girlfriend who has magnetic powers, but it makes her crazy. And so she goes from like loving Wally to wanting to kill him. And for whatever reason, I was super into that comic, and I just love I think it was honestly, a lot of it was probably the Scott Collins artwork, and just seeing the lightning trails behind Wally, it was just like so cool. And from there it was like, boom, like I was super into DC. And I think that I noticed all this like continuity that DC had, and like Marvel just kind of, like, I read and loved New X-Men, and then when that book was over, they completely ignored that it ever happened, like within two or three issues, and I was so turned off by that that started, like, that pretty much ended my love of Marvel at that point, and I kind of like put that away. But I've followed along with some Marvel books here and there, and like I love Spider-Man, and you know, I'm reading now, you know, I'm getting back into it and reading some, like, you know, a lot of Jonathan Hickman stuff, like his Fantastic Four and his Avengers stuff, which is like mind blowing. Yeah, Immortal Hulk, like you said, I absolutely love. And yeah, I'm reading, you know, catching up on some Spider-Man stuff. I'll be starting the new Venom stuff by Donny Cates. I'll be reading that very soon. There's a lot of really interesting books coming out from Marvel and stuff that they've had in the last 5 to 10 years that I'm also catching up on. And it's been a good ride catching up on it. It's like I get to binge all of these comics now. It's really fun getting to read like years worth of comics in a sitting. It's really great.
But all right, so I need to paint a picture for you real quick.
Okay.
You're right. You're sitting at your house right now.
Mm.
Big explosion outside.
Oh, you
run to the window to look. Fire truck comes like flipping by. Oh, super scared. Your dog's freaking out. You have to go, and then you hear a scream, and you trying to help run outside, and you're like, what's going on? And then there's a big meteor in the sky, and it's heading right towards you, and then Wally West in real life somehow runs by and scoops you up and like takes you to Beijing where you'll be safe, and then he just looks at you and is just like, hey, what do you say to him?
Do you have any toilet paper? No, I think after that question, and obviously the question that involves did you also rescue my wife and my dog and my cat? Which I assume that in this scenario he scooped us all up, and we traveled with him in the Speed Force wake, as he transferred his speed to us, which is a power that he learned after he discovered the Speed Force, because again, he is the best speedster of all time. I would thank him. If I had the time, I think that what would actually happen is I would be way too starstruck, and he would be way too impatient to wait for me to say thank you, because he knows that he has like a million other people that he has to rescue, like he rescued me. But if I did have a minute, I would say, you know, thank you so much. You mean so much to me. You have had so many incredible adventures. Thank you for getting me into, you know, comics, and you know, keeping me passionate about them for all these years. And then I would tell him to hang in there, because I know that he's going through some really tough times right now. Because I had mentioned that he was brought back into the DC universe after he was gone. He literally disappeared from reality for many years, and he was brought back. But his wife and his children, they were not. His kids didn't exist anymore. His wife didn't remember him, doesn't remember him. And he's really been put through the ringer. I would tell him to hang in there, in that, I know that he'll be okay. And that I can't wait to see him back up on his feet again.
Nice. I'm sure he will appreciate that. But so, since he has to go back and rescue more people, he's just going to give you money for a flight back.
Wally has money? I thought he was broke all the time.
He borrowed it from Magenta.
Okay. And I know he won the lottery at one point, but he pissed all that away.
Yeah. But he gives you money back for a plane ticket on, okay. I don't know, Wayne Enterprises Airlines. Cool. And you, while you're on the flight back, you are sitting next to someone who's just going through a real hard time in their own lives.
Mm-hmm.
While you're stuck on this flight with them for, I don't know how long it takes to fly to bit from Beijing to California.
Gotta be a long time. That's
17 hours. I'm going to decide it is right now.
Okay, all right.
What do you say to this person?
Well, I tell them that you know, they need to keep their head up. There's going to be trials and tribulations along the way, but if you keep going, you're going to keep learning. You're going to discover new things about the world, and you're going to discover new things about yourself. And as long as you don't give up, you are going to things are just going to get better. You're going to learn to deal with things better. You're going to learn to deal with your circumstances better. And if you just never give up and always stay hopeful, which is something Wally learned from Barry, that, you know, even if the world is never quite as good of a place as you want it to be, you'll still be able to make it through with a positive attitude and a smile on your face.
I'm sure that will make their lives better and make them happier for the flight, the 17-hour flight back to California.
I hope so. And I would also probably bore them to death with all of the very many details about Wally West that I could not get to on this podcast.
I mean, I would understand why you'd be talking about him. He did just save you from a meteor and a flipping fire truck.
That's right. And I would also somehow be reconciling the fact that this clearly fictional character that I've read my entire life is somehow real, and that I now exist in the DC universe. I think I would probably need more toilet paper at that point as well.
Well, that's when you have to really figure it out. Is Wally real or am I in DC?
Oh my God.
And then you
Is Wally real or am I fake?
And then you find Grant Morrison and talk to him about the end of Animal Man, because he's in the DC universe now too.
Of course. Of course. Yep, that's true.
And as so long is as Neil I'm Gaiman. Not
in this as long as I'm not in the Stephen King universe, I'll be happy.
Yeah, I mean, there's too many clowns and aliens who eat your head after you shit them out, and murder houses, but not Murder House from American Horror Story. Different murder houses.
Very different murder houses. Yes, indeed. But I don't want to go in either one of them.
No. But all right, so then before we go, I want to give you the chance to plug some stuff. It can either be, actually no, it's going to be both things, something that you're working on and something you enjoy that you just think other people might enjoy as well.
Okay. So something that I'm working on is a website that you can go to. It is beardmancreative.com. I am teaching myself some graphic design stuff, some illustration stuff, and I will be that is where I'll be putting my my portfolio for the time being, for your viewing pleasure.
All right, so beardmancreative.com.
Yep. And then something I'm enjoying right now. Star Trek Deep Space Nine. Taking it back to our first episode where I was talking about Captain Picard. It's very old show that I don't think anyone really needs to support. Well, no, I would say support Deep Space Nine so that hopefully the people who are making modern day Star Trek can make their shows more like Deep Space Nine and less like Star Trek Discovery.
Even Deeper Space 10.
Sold. Sold, 100%. I'm on board with that.
I'm glad.
Watch Glow. Is that, everyone's watching Glow, right? That's a great show. I'm just scrolling through my Netflix app right now.
Oh.
Because I was really not prepared for that question. I was just going to plug my own shit. I didn't think that you were going to ask both. That was an unexpected twist.
Yeah. I mean, I plugged shit while you were saying hello to your wife. Like, drinking water. Because it's good for you.
Ooh, I got another one. Hold on. This is not a Netflix show. This is an Instagram account.
Scenic Simpsons.
Although Scenic Simpsons is really great. It's called Wham, B as in boy, WHAM. It's Wham. It is an Instagram account. This person is basically taking like bits of comic book lettering. Like, it's mostly like title, you know, title pages, you know, and like the font that they use for like titling and stuff.
Yeah.
And he's grouping them into like colors or like, you know, so there's one that's like, it's like purple, pink and blue colors. So like any lettering that he found that has those colors, he'll put it together in like one post. And it's just these really pleasant little, images of old, like, and they're pretty old school. They're like, you know, they look mostly like probably 80s and 90s, so they all kind of look like that newsprinty kind of feel, but it's just really, it's really pretty and fun to look at, and it's I think it's a great addition to anyone's feed, especially if you're into comics at all. It's a great addition to your feed.
Awesome.
And I think, oh, and I'm looking at it now, and I think it's like, it's B, if you can't find Blam spelled out, it's B underscore W underscore H underscore, et cetera.
Okay, so et cetera after getting already halfway through.
Yep, it's very awkward. So I hope you find it.
Trevor, so just remember, underscores after each letter except the last one. You won't find it if you do that one.
That's right. You have to just say out loud the word et cetera, and Instagram will find it for you.
Okay.
Perfect.
I hope there's an Instagram just called et cetera.
Just
like pictures of just random things.
There's a bunch.
Cool.
There's et cetera Nashville, et cetera color, but spelled the British way. With a U. It's disgusting.
Weird. That's like, it's just et cetera, but with like beans and toast and tea and our royal family who has babies sometimes.
Yep, but don't have any power, really. It's very confusing.
They have the power to make us happy.
Oh, I guess. I thought you were going to say they have the power of Grayskull. That would have been cool.
No. Not anymore.
Oh, no.
It was a weird incident involving Prince Charles and Oof. Manny Faces. Let's just say he only has several faces now.
That's rough. No wonder they lost their powers.
Yeah, so... Yeah, no, they no longer have the power of Grayskull. They no longer have the Power Rangers.
No
longer have the power of love. They no longer
Not
have
even
the
love?
Touch or the power.
But the touch, that's classic 80s cheese. You gotta have that.
No, they lost it. If it was you got the power, you got the touch, yeah, then they could still have it because power came first. But since touch came first and then power, you have to take everything that came first. That's just part of the deal.
All right. Well, once again, you've lost me.
Yeah, I kind of lost myself on that bit, but it's cool. I'm going to go up to the front of the Walgreens and I'll just wait. That's what happens when we're recording at 1 a.m. my time.
That's, yep. And that is totally my fault for being a West Coaster. So my apologies. My apologies.
Nah, you're good, man. But all right, it's time to sign off. I'm this is weird now.
I edit in a better sign off. Just you've got enough words of me talking now that you can just like chop them up and make me say something really funny and something that ends the podcast on a high note.
It sounds like so much work.
Yeah, you got to do it. You got to do what you got to do, man. You're recording in the closet, you know, you might as well just chop up my words and make me sound awesome for your audience.
How come only Daniel O'Brien could pull off the obsessive pop culture disorder ending of just bye? Just an angry bye and it ended and it was charming only because it's him.
I don't know, man. But all I can say to that is bye.
There we go. Perfect sign off.
We did it.
Mission accomplished. I'm gonna go indeed borrow that sign from the aircraft carrier behind George W. Bush.
He's still holding it up.
He's very proud of that, accomplishing that mission.
Oh, as he should be. As he should be. The world has never been the same.
It's not. It's a better place now.
All right, man. I got to let you go.
All right. Bye, Mike. Bye, listeners. And, have a good day, I guess.
You better actually cut all this out and end it when I said bye.
Yeah, I'll do that. I'll play around with it. Totally.
You bastard. All right, man. Later.
All right, bye.
Bye.